Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through whom we are more than conquerors, dear fellow redeemed. There are a number of passages and sections of Scripture that we would do well to remind ourselves of or read through daily. Maybe just attach them to our mirror in the bathroom or our door as we leave our house. Powerful passages of Scripture that we should really hear every day. Our sermon text for this morning is one section, one of those sections of Scripture. It's comforting and encouraging. It's powerful and empowering. These are verses that are probably familiar to many of you. Maybe some of you have even memorized a few of these. But have we always understood and fully taken the time to think about what these verses are saying to us about Christ and about us? Have we taken the time recently to let these incredible, powerful words sink into our hearts and into our heads? Let's do that this morning. Our text is from the last verses of Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. What does it mean to be a conqueror? I would think that in the context of war, it would mean winning a key battle or winning a campaign against your enemy. In sports, I would think that would mean winning a championship of some kind over all the other opponents in your field. What does it mean then to be more than conquerors? Just like our text says in verse 37. Well, as you might guess, it means more than just winning one battle, winning one war, or winning one championship. But rather, it would imply being completely victorious, winning over everyone and everything every single time. And in fact, that is the sense the Greek word has there. It literally means to be a super conqueror, or literally hyper victorious. I think of hyper conquerors or super conquerors in history. There are very few that come to mind, but one of them would probably be Alexander the Great. Wouldn't he be described as a super conqueror? Someone who won victory after victory until he conquered nearly the entire known world in just a short 33 years of life. He could be called a super conqueror, or more than a conqueror when it came to war. A conqueror who seemed to be undefeated and seemed to be undefeatable on the battlefield. In sports, I would guess the first person that would come to my mind is someone from my childhood days, Michael Jordan. And the Chicago Bulls teams of the 1990s, winning six NBA titles in that decade and never losing in the NBA Finals one time, never losing one NBA Finals series in those six attempts. Maybe those of you who lived in the Bay Area in the 80s would probably think of Joe Montana, winning four Super Bowl titles in a span of about 10 years. And Joe Cool, just like Michael Jordan, never lost one Super Bowl. Think of those two figures especially as being so great and so good at what they did that it almost seemed inevitable as you were watching the finals or watching the Super Bowl. You knew those two men were going to make the right play or their teams were going to always come out on top. They were more than conquerors. Today we might not think of maybe an individual, but we might think of a team of super conquerors. Maybe we think of our Golden State Warriors. Winners of two of the last three NBA titles, record holders for the most wins in one season and the most wins spread out over three seasons. They are, in fact, right now the most heavily favored professional sports team ever in America. There are people who are saying things like, it's not fair how good they are. This team might just not win one championship, but several championships. They would be described as super conquerors. However, Paul is not talking in our text about some sort of great individual like Alexander the Great or Michael Jordan or Joe Montana or some great team of individuals like the Golden State Warriors. He's not describing them when he says that we are more than conquerors. Who is he talking about? He's actually talking about us. He's talking about believers in Christ. The we he is speaking of in our text is us, you and me. Now you can imagine just how much our human nature would want to twist this in the wrong direction, right? I can remember seeing billboards for one of the mega churches in the Houston area when I lived there, encouraging people in big, bold letters to come to their services, but the encouragement was this: come to our services, discover the champion inside you. That sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds very empowering to our flesh. But the problem is, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that is not true. We know it's not true, and we know it isn't even biblical. The fact is that our title as super conquerors, more than conquerors, really has nothing to do with our accomplishments at all. It has nothing to do with our own dominance on the battlefield or in the field of competition. It really has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with the champion, our conqueror, the one who earned that title for us, Jesus Christ. So actually, you are coming to worship today, and I hope you come every Sunday, to discover, or at least be reminded of, the champion who is outside of yourself. And so Paul reminds us in our text that we are more than conquerors through Christ, in life and in death. If I were to take a poll today and ask you, do you feel like more than a conqueror this week or today? Do you feel like more than a conqueror in life? I'm willing to bet that not many hands would shoot up. I know our teachers have finished their first week of school and it went very, very well. So maybe you feel a bit like a conqueror, but more than a conqueror, isn't that saying too much? Doesn't that make you think that maybe if you said I'm more than a conqueror this week, that next week is going to be absolutely terrible? I would guess that most of us would say, no, I'm not more than a conqueror when it comes to life. We don't feel very much like Alexander the Great parading into yet another conquered territory, or like Michael Jordan or Steph Curry pumping his fist victoriously after winning yet another championship. No, some days we don't feel victorious enough to even conquer getting out of bed in the morning. But our text is not talking about how we feel about our status, about being more than conquerors through him who loved us. He's not talking about our feelings at all. He's talking about Paul stating a fact about who we are through Jesus. And this reminder is intended by God to bring us comfort, strength, and a true sense of victory in this life. Paul asks in our text, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? And you notice that's just a rhetorical question. Paul's answer that he's looking for is, of course, no. Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, the love that he has for each one of us. If you notice all these calamities that Paul lists in this section of Romans are things that have actually happened to the Apostle Paul during his ministry. If you were to read his list of things that happened to him during his ministry in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you would find these horrifying things that happened to Paul. He says, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 5 times he was whipped. 39 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Look at all those things that Paul suffered and went through as a missionary of Christ. And yet, what does Paul say after listing these things and recounting some of the tragedies that happened to him in his life? He says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now we may, God willing, never be put through as many difficulties or trials or tests of faith as Paul was. God willing, that will not happen to us in our lifetimes, or not at least to that degree or to that extent. But I bet we can all fill in the blanks of that list in the first verse of our text to include some of the tests and trials and difficulties that Paul has allowed to, or that God has allowed to come our way in our lifetime. Things that perhaps we are facing and dealing with right now. Think about, or even write down for yourself today, some of the trials and difficulties that you are facing. Add that to the list that Paul describes in verse 35. Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness, or danger, or sword, or stress, or family troubles, or relationship issues, or life changes, or difficult decisions, or confusion, or uncertainty, or unemployment, or sickness, or injury, or sorrow, or depression, or whatever else we are going through right now. Can any of that separate us from the love of Christ? Paul answers that question in the last verse of our text, and he answers it without any doubt or uncertainty. He says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." How can Paul be so confident? How could he say those things? After all Paul had been through, all that he had to endure for the sake of Christ, how can he be so convinced, as he puts it, that nothing in all the universe will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord? We don't hear Paul asking the "why God" question. Why have you allowed this? I'm your servant. I'm your missionary. Why? Why? We don't hear him asking that question after all those calamities because he knew that Christ had proved his inseparable love for him once and for all on the cross. He proved it for all people, for you and me, going through the punishment of hell for our sins to give us the gift of heaven. If Christ went through such great lengths and through such great pains to save us and to prove his love for us, he is not going to allow anything, not even death itself, to separate us from him. And that is why Jesus didn't just stop with a sacrifice, with a great sacrifice of his own life on Good Friday. He made sure, permanently and undeniably sure, that we would be made more than conquerors, even in death, by defeating death through his own resurrection from the grave on Easter Sunday morning. His resurrection guarantees our resurrection on the last day. His resurrection is that sure and certain promise for the believer that our death will be nothing more than the gateway to eternal life in heaven. His resurrection also proved, without a doubt, that Jesus was exactly who he said he was. True God, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. The resurrection of Christ was the message that Paul continually preached, the message that he continually pointed to and pointed his hearers to throughout his ministry. It was on the basis, it is also the basis of his statement and his confidence in our text that says, "I am convinced that neither death will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing. Not life with all its struggles, and not death with all its terrors, can separate us from the love of Jesus for us. However, someone once pointed out that what is not included in this list is ourselves. They point out correctly that we do have that scary and horrifying ability to reject Christ, to separate ourselves from him. We have that horrifying and frightening ability to say, "No, thank you, Jesus." Or, "No, I think I will try to strive for my own salvation on my own. Thank you. No. I'll look elsewhere." But even in that situation, even if we are in unbelief and separate ourselves from Christ, will that separate us from his love for us? And the answer, of course, is no. He still loves us. He still loves us even when we turn our backs on him. In fact, he gave us two of the most beautiful and most well-loved parables in all the scriptures to show just how much he loves his wandering sheep, his lost coin, and his lost or prodigal son. He also showed in those parables his unconditional love, unconditional willingness to welcome us back, to give us his full and free forgiveness and the assurance that we are his own and that nothing will separate us from his love. That is what makes us more than conquerors. We have that safety net of Jesus' love, of his grace, catching us each time we fall. He will not let our lives shatter in pieces on the ground. He loves us. He gives us the assurance of his forgiveness and the power of his Spirit to pick us back up, to assure us and remind us that we have been washed clean, that we have been dressed in white robes of righteousness that he has dressed us in, robes that he has given us. Alexander the Great, definitely a great conqueror. If your nickname or the name that people know you by has the word great in it, you are a great conqueror. Might even say more than a conqueror. But despite all his greatness and all the lands he conquered, he still died. And he died very young, only 33 years old. Michael Jordan, undefeated in 6 NBA finals, but undefeatable? Nope. Do you remember that Michael Jordan ended his career by playing 2 very forgettable seasons with the Washington Wizards? In those last 2 seasons, a little bit larger and more out of shape Michael Jordan was not able to will his team to more victories than losses. They never made the playoffs in those 2 years. I don't mean to bring up some sore spots for Bay Area sports fans, but Joe Montana's career kind of ended the same way. A contentious trade sent him to Kansas City. 2 years there. He at least made the playoffs, but no return trips to the Super Bowl. And as painful it is to remember this, that great Warriors team that set the record by winning 73 wins in 1 season actually lost in Game 7 of the NBA Finals on a last-second 3-pointer. Conquerors? Yes. All of them were in their particular sports. But not really more than conquerors, because they were not undefeated and not undefeatable. But how about us? By ourselves, we probably wouldn't even be considered conquerors in this life. But in Christ, our great super conqueror, by his shed blood, By his resurrection from the dead, he has made us more than conquerors, in life and in death. Remind yourself of that truth daily in God's word. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.